This is Susanna McMonagle, and you're listening to Season 3 of the 5 to 8 Shift podcast for parents. The 5 to 8 Shift podcast and community exists to educate, inspire, and encourage parents throughout their parenthood adventure. Here, we talk about all the things impacting parents today, everything from mental health to technology to faith, teenagers, toddlers, self-care routines, and so much more. We know parenting is tough work, but family life is worth every ounce of effort. We hope you listen in, share with your favorites, and are reminded that you're not alone. We look forward to cheering you on in your own 5 to 8 shift. It's the most important shift of the day. Hey guys, it's your host Susanna. Welcome to another episode of the 5 to 8 shift. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking us out. You know how like you follow somebody on Instagram or TikTok or wherever you spend your free time, YouTube, my students tell me, and then you really like what that person brings to the table and you're like, wow, this is like super interesting and really valuable and useful. And then you get an opportunity to connect with them down the road. Well, that's what happened to me with Ashley Gadd. And so Ashley is on the podcast today. I have been part of her ecosystem for, I don't know when I discovered her, but it's been a while. And so she runs a community for Christian moms called Coffee and Crumbs. It's a writer's consortium. I like to write. I like reading other people's essays and other things like that. And so I've always kind of looked for these places to submit my work and do, you know, some creative outlets, things like that. And so Ashley does that. And then I got an email saying, hey, Ashley has a new book coming out. It's called Create Anyway, The Joy of Pursuing Creativity in the Margins of Motherhood. And would you want to have her on your podcast? And I was like, hello, like Ashley, like the Ashley from Coffee and Crumbs. And I was, of course, agreed immediately. And so I love when this happens. And so Ashley is just so easy to talk to. Great interview. She is talking about her new book, but really we get into some really great conversations about what it means to be a mom and then pursue your creative dreams, whether on the side or out front, or how you make time for that and how you work in the margins and how creativity really actually makes your motherhood like come alive, and then your motherhood makes your work come alive, whatever that work is, whether it's, you know, we laugh thinking in the episode, like, you, when I think of creators, I think of like artists and illustrators, but like this podcast is a creation. It's something that brings me a lot of joy talking to y'all week in and week out. And Ashley is a writer, and I know other people, they create beautiful spaces or they bake beautiful meals. And so we talk about all of that. And so you're going to love this episode. Ashley is so down to earth. She's outgoing. She's a lot of fun. Her new book, Create Anyway, is out March 2023. Very exciting. She's going to talk about where you can get it at the end. And I hope you guys enjoy this interview as much as I do. If you do, share it with your friends in real life and online. Tag us. My Instagram at susanna.mcmonagle. Thanks for being here. Y'all have a great day. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the 5 to 8 Shift with Susanna. I am thrilled to bring you a guest today who just wrote a new book called Create Anyway. Her name is Ashley Gadd, and you guys are going to love her. So let's just kick this off. So Ashley, for my season 3 here, I'm doing sort of a rapid 5-question introduction, if you will. So
okay,
please humor me. They're easy.
I feel nervous, but
don't feel nervous.
Okay. I'm not always good under pressure. I had no warning about this. That's okay.
I know. That's the way I like it. No, you're good. Okay. Number one is, where did you grow up?
I grew up in California. And Northern California.
Northern California. Okay. Yes. And number two is, where do you live now?
I live in still Northern California. I'm in Sacramento.
You know, it's interesting how few people actually say that. Most people do not live where they grew up.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in the Bay Area, so I have migrated all of 90 miles. But yes, I am a Northern California born and raised.
True and true. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. What is one of your favorite foods or restaurants right now?
My favorite food is popcorn forever. Mm. Yeah. I don't know that I'm ever going to change my answer there.
Wow. You know, I used to always have popcorn when I was a teenager. It was like... Mm-hmm. Fastest bang for your buck, you know, 2 minutes, it's hot, it's ready.
Yeah.
I do have it a lot with the kids. Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. If you could only have one for the next year, would you pick movies or music?
Ooh, I think music because I am a multitasker and I sit down to watch a full movie very rarely, but I listen to music almost every day.
A lot. Yeah. I feel like we don't do a lot of movies either. We're too tired.
Yeah.
Who has 90 minutes in their life?
I know. Do you ever do that thing where you're trying to find a movie and then you just spend like 45 minutes trying to find one and then you can't find one and then you just end up watching reruns of The Office again? Is that anyone else's life? That is my life.
Yes, that is exactly accurate. You have pegged me in a nutshell. Yes.
Okay, good. I knew I liked you.
You had my Tuesday nights. There you go. Perfect. All right. And the last one here is today we're talking about creativity, you know, your new book, but also like just motherhood and all that goodness. So where did this idea for this particular book come from? Now, I know you're a writer and you're writing all the time, but was this like, my goal is always to write these essays and have them together? Or did you have an epiphany at some point where you were like, ooh, this might work?
Yeah, this was definitely an epiphany type of situation. So I wrote a collaborative book a number of years ago with my team members at Coffee and Crumbs called The Magic of Motherhood. And that was a really special experience. I learned a lot through the publishing of that book. But truthfully, I never thought I was going to write a book by myself. That was It was not really a desire that I had. I've been writing on the internet for a very long time. I really enjoy writing on the internet and I'm very comfortable doing that. And writing a book that lasts forever in print is very terrifying and a lot of pressure. And I just really didn't have, I just really didn't have a desire to do that. And one day, I mean, I'm going to try not to tell this like super long story, but I was taking a shower one day, washing my hair, and all of a sudden I got pelted over the head with just a ton of ideas about basically what turned out to be Create Anyway. I had all these like stories and anecdotes and metaphors just flying through my brain all about the parallels between motherhood and the creative process. And I was practically dizzy from the amount of like words that were flying around in my brain. And so I got out of the shower, I grabbed a notebook and a pen, I scribbled down every single thing I could remember. I filled up kind of 4 pages of a notepad, and I took pictures of all the 4 pages and I texted them to my best friend, who promptly responded like, "Ashley, that's a book. That's a book outline. Wow. What that is." And I was like a little bit resistant to it at first. I feel my default response was like, nah, a book, me, no. But there was also this teeny part of me, even in that moment, that knew she was right. You know, I think that is what this is. I think this is a whole book. And the rest is history. So here I am.
And here you are. Okay. So if somebody doesn't know about Coffee and Crumbs, give us the introduction. This is what it is.
Sure. So it's funny, speaking of just being in the shower and being pelted over the head with an idea, that was really the origin story for Coffee and Crumbs as
Great.
Well.
So you shower every day. That's where your inspiration is.
I don't even shower every day, but I would say that tends to be like the quietest part of my day and where I can actually think. And I don't know if like the steam is unlocking something up there. I'm really not sure, but God tends to just hit me over the head with ideas in the shower. So I definitely recommend that if you're feeling stuck. Just go take a shower. Yeah. So Coffee and Crumbs was born, gosh, my first child at that point was about 1.5 years old. I only had one kid at that time. So this was in like the fall of 2013. I had just one son. His name is Everett. And I was kind of in this weird place creatively where I had been writing, I mean, basically all of my life. And I had been in a place where I was starting to pursue taking my writing more seriously, essentially. Okay. And so I was kind of starting to look around for places to submit my writing online. Mm-hmm. And of course, being the brand new mom that I was, you know, motherhood had kind of turned my whole world upside down and just such a profound experience that I was really processing and working through in my writing. And at the time, I just couldn't really find anywhere to submit my writing about motherhood online. Mm. A lot of the websites that I was coming across just didn't really fit the feel and the vibe for sort of where I wanted my work to live online. I was experiencing a lot of just kind of like divisiveness. And yeah, there were a lot of websites about parenting that were very prescriptive and this is how you do it. This is how you raise a child. Mm-hmm. And then there was sort of like the influencer part of it where sort of this over glamorized Pinteresty version of motherhood. And it just kind of felt like everywhere I turned online, I just couldn't find where I wanted to put my writing. It just, yeah, it didn't exist. And so Coffee and Crumbs, the kind of the origin story of that is that was me really trying to set out to make the place that I wanted to put my own writing. But from the very start, it's been collaborative. And when I kind of came up with that idea of, I just want to make this like really beautiful space online where moms can share just honest stories with each other and just, yeah, have it be real and gritty and vulnerable and honest, I right away invited a group of women into that project with me from the very start. And yeah, it kind of took off in big and unexpected, wildly, I don't even know what the word is, just wildly beautiful ways. And yeah, I continue to be really grateful for what God has done with this little teeny tiny idea that I didn't really have a lot of expectations for, to be honest.
You know, and I got to give you some credit because I do think the vibe is very unique, you know?
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate you saying that.
Well, because as I shared offline, you know, I'm, you know, same kind of thing, looking for places to submit, feeling things out. Because like sometimes you visit a place and you're like, awesome, but not me, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's like no judgment. Like this is great for the you know. Not my Enneagram, but I'm like, it's a vibe that's really unique. And so I can obviously understand why people are drawn to it. So this is probably a bigger question that I know you think about a lot, but why do you think, so your new book is Create Anyway, but why do you feel it's important for mothers to continue pursuing their creative dreams while raising babies? Mm-hmm. And if you could be specific, I don't know. You can take it whichever way you want. But what benefits might this have for a mother who already feels like her hands are full?
Okay. I have a lot to say on this.
Great.
I mean, I think first and foremost, it's so important for mothers to kind of remember who they were before they became a mom.
Yeah.
And for me, creativity is really one of those ways. You know, I wanted to be a mom. My entire life. I was one of those girls who had baby dolls, you know, that was just my entire imaginative play as a kid was pretending to be a mom. Hmm. I thought about it all the time. I mean, even once I got into high school, just really started dreaming about really growing up and, yeah, and getting married and having a family.
It was very glamorous before it happened.
Yeah, of course it was. Well, and back when I was little, you know, I would put my baby doll down for like 70 naps a day. And, you know, spoiler alert, kids don't actually sleep that much.
No, they don't.
Still continues to be disorienting for me. But then, you know, I became a mom. And even though I wanted to be a mom my entire life, I still felt that actual transition just... It knocked me off my feet. You know, it was such a profound shift in everything. And I didn't struggle a ton as a new mom. And I know that that is not true of everyone, but I do think that I kind of struggled in the sense of like, who am I now? You know, it just,
yeah, I do.
And anytime we put too much stock in, you know, putting our identity really in anything outside of Christ, we're going to stumble around.
Yeah.
And I think that in some ways it's almost like I had put a lot of pressure on my motherhood to be something for me that it didn't really instantly click that way.
Yeah.
And so I feel like writing was just such a saving grace for me in that season because I was able to just process so much about motherhood and continue to. I mean, that was true when I was a brand new mom with one baby, sorting through my birth plan that didn't go according to plan. And
never does.
You know, it never does.
And, maybe 5% of the time.
Yeah. And just like the ways that new motherhood was affecting my marriage. And my father-in-law passed away 6 months after we became parents. And so that was like a really big marker of just of grief during our first year, kind of adjusting to the roles of mother and father. And there was just so much to process emotionally and internally. And the act of creating, which for me looks like writing, it doesn't look like writing for everyone, but for me, that was just such a saving grace of connecting myself kind of back to myself, you know, in a season that was so kind of up and down. And I really believe in the value of creativity for a multitude of reasons, but for mothers who, regardless of how many kids you have, what season you're in, I guarantee you there's a lot going on in your life and there's a lot going on emotionally and spiritually and mentally. And I just find that the act of creating is one way that we just kind of like process what is going on around us. Not to mention, I really believe that creativity is one way we like stay connected to our maker, you know, because we are creative because God made us that way. And so it's a really, it's a good way to practice kind of stepping into the fullness of who we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the things I sort of glean from your book is I think creativity is much broader than I originally kind of defined it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm thinking about preparing for this podcast and I'm like, ooh, I don't really have girlfriends who like draw or, you know, like the true, like, I don't know any sculptors. They sound lovely. I'd love to meet you, but like, they're just not in my circle right now.
Yeah.
But then I start to think about like things I like to do and things my girlfriends like to do. And I'm like, wow, there's so many outlets to really do this, you know, and just got to make it a priority, right?
Yeah. It's endless. And I think that's what's so special about just creativity in general is that when you think about what it looks like on every person, it's as unique as a snowflake, right? I mean, because if you like to write and I like to write, and we're both, quote, writers, that doesn't mean that you and I are writing exactly the same thing, you know? Right. I mean, the way that creativity presents itself in every unique human being walking this earth is different. Yeah. And that could only even be imagined by a creative God, you know, who has just endless inspiration for how this transpires in the world.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Will you share with us, I know this is maybe a big ask, will you share with us maybe the abbreviated version of your ladybug story in your book? I know. It just really, I really liked it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've been like thinking about it a lot. Yeah. Just, will you share that?
I would love to. And okay, awesome. It blesses me to hear that you enjoyed that story because I don't want to say I feel insecure about it, but it does kind of feel like one of those things that not everybody's really going to get.
Yeah, you're
and
special.
I'm okay. Well, I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with maybe that chapter being a little bit misunderstood because it does. It can sound a little bit, and I will preface this by saying it sounds a little crazy to tell someone like God speaks to me through ladybugs, but
maybe I just hang out with too many God-fearing women because it does not sound crazy to me.
I'm okay, like, good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're my person. I like this. So the ladybug story, I mean, the very abbreviated version of that is I had been in kind of a creative drought for a while. And, you know, I'm very aware that creativity ebbs and flows, right? Like sometimes we're just in the zone and we're in a season where the inspiration is there and the discipline is there and we are making and creating. And it's just almost like electric, you know, there's a heartbeat there. There's a spark there. And sometimes we're not in a season like that. We're in a season where we have to force ourselves to just put our butt in the chair and put the words on the page and we're going through the motions and we're trying to find the love again, you know? And I've been doing this for so long that I'm really aware of how that roller coaster goes, right? Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. It always comes back around. But I had been in what I would consider just a real creative drought where I was starting to ask those really big questions like, should I quit writing? Should I quit coffee and crumbs? Is this all done now? Is this over? Has this all run its course? I feel empty. I feel depleted. I feel bored. I feel apathetic. Yeah. I feel just dead inside. Like, yeah. I don't even want to do any of this anymore.
Yeah.
And it was in that place. And I should also add that that was a very scary place for me to be.
Yeah.
Not only because this is my job, and if I didn't do this job anymore, I would need to go find a different job, and yeah. I don't know what I would do. There's the anxiety of that, but it was yeah. also just this really fearful, gosh, like I have loved doing this for so long, and the thought that I could not love it anymore just felt so unsettling to me. Mm. And I was just in a real low point of just, what am I even doing, God? Like, what is going on? Is this all over? I need you to show me the way, because this is just not a good place for me. And it was in that specific place, season, that I started seeing ladybugs everywhere. Hmm. I started seeing them in my house. I started seeing them outside. They would like land on my windshield at a red light. I would find one like on the handle of my car. I mean, they were, it was like everywhere I went, different places, right? So they're not all just infesting.
The ladybug. Yeah. Yeah,
they're not all like procreating, infesting one area of my house. I was seeing them in like many different environments in different places and finding them over and over yeah. again. And I was almost always alone when it happened, which felt significant. And mm-hmm. I just remember telling my husband one day, like, this is gonna sound crazy, but I'm seeing ladybugs everywhere, and I feel like God wants me to pay attention to this. And of course, my husband, I don't remember really what he said. I'm sure he just shrugged and was like, okay, babe, you okay? And it, you know, nothing happened overnight. It wasn't like, oh, I saw, you know, 8 ladybugs, and then I just became a different person, and then yeah. I left my job again. It was like a very slow, steady process of God, like very slowly reigniting that fire in me that had just gone out. I don't know why it went out, but it did. And I also know like God was really the only one that was going to bring it back, because I was kind of ready to just give up on everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a really incredible. So all the, you know, all this time later, that was like toward the end of 2019.
Okay.
And going back, since I've already shared this story of getting out of the shower with the idea for the book and how that kind of took off. I don't think it happened that night, but the next night, it's like I saw a ladybug very shortly after that. And it just yeah. felt like a sign, you know, like, this is what I'm doing in you. Like, you're ready now. And I have continued to see ladybugs over the whole course that I was writing the book. I would see them just every so often, and often it would be like kind of aligning with something that was happening with the book. And it just all felt very supernatural, very yeah. mysterious, very like
intentional.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a purpose. There's a method to the madness.
Yeah. So that's the ladybug story.
So, okay. And in the book, you talk about it like being a breadcrumb, like, you know, mm-hmm. you're, you know, so what I would like to ask you is, what advice would you give to someone who really needs a breadcrumb, whether mm-hmm. they're tired, they're frustrated, they're feeling yeah. like quitting, you know, their dream or something that they've worked mm-hmm. hard for? Mm-hmm. What is something about this ladybug story that they could tuck away for their own journey?
Yeah, I love that question so much. And I believe in this so much. I believe that God gives us what we ask for, not always in the way we might be expecting it, but yeah. this is absolutely something I believe you can ask God to provide for you. And I would just really encourage, whether you're a writer or not, and I know a lot of people are like, I'm not a writer, and that's fine. You don't have to be a writer
yeah.
to keep a log or a journal. And I really, really, really encourage women who are either, you know, in a creative drought or just in a season of uncertainty or confusion, or I don't really know what I'm supposed to do next. I don't really know what God has in store for me right now, to get quiet before the Lord, to ask for a breadcrumb, and then to start paying attention. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to get on a whole soapbox about this, but if you need to step away from social media to pay attention to what's going on in your life, I recommend that.
Do it, right?
Wholeheartedly.
I know. You're not on social media right now, right? You're taking
I've been slowly stepping away more and more and more. Yeah. But yes, I frequently step away from social media. And I think sometimes, you know, there's a difference between believing that God just like isn't showing up with a breadcrumb and you're just too distracted to notice the breadcrumbs that he's dropping right in front of your face.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I think it's really, and I struggle with this. I don't want to make it sound like, you know, I just have this really intentional, wonderful quiet time every day. This is a struggle for me. It's a struggle for me. I mean, I have three kids. I work. My life is loud and full and busy and wonderful, but it does take discipline to get quiet before the Lord and pay attention to what he's saying to you.
Yeah. And did I read somewhere that you're an Enneagram 3? Did you put mm-hmm. that somewhere?
Yeah.
And so am I.
Okay. Kindred spirit.
I know. Sometimes I think threes, not to like read too much in it, but like I'm not very good at being quiet. Like,
no.
Like I just like, I need to be doing something. Like
I'm not good at being still. Yeah. No. And I feel like you have to be still to be quiet. And I can't.
Like, I need a buddy. Like what? Who's the Enneagram that's like really still, like Mother Teresa-y? Like I need to team up with her.
And he was probably a 2, and I don't know how still that is, but yeah, I get what you're true. Saying. Like, well, who are peaceful. Like the contemplative Enneagram types?
Yeah. But I think, you know, I definitely heed that advice. I can be very distracted, and a lot of times I will argue, well, all these things are very important. All these things that I'm distracted by need my attention. Mm-hmm. And the whole get quiet thing has been a bit of a game. When I'm in a routine where I can do it well, it's been a bit of a game changer. So mm-hmm. I have to echo that advice there. So, okay. If someone says, I love this conversation, this is awesome, I feel like I need a creative outlet, but I'm not a writer and I'm not an artist, but I like what you're saying, what advice would you give them about where to start to find a creative outlet that mm-hmm. that works for them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm a huge proponent of experimenting and trying things. And as we've kind of already touched on, you know, the possibilities are endless. There's a million different ways to be creative. You can be a painter, you can be a musician, you can be into gardening, you can be into baking, you can be into making tactile things with your hands. You can be more into like crafting poetry in your mind. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And I think it's really, really important to pay attention to what lights you up and what mm-hmm. makes you feel most alive. And you will know it when you find it, you know? So I just always encourage women, if you haven't found it yet, just keep trying more things because at some point when that little spark goes off inside your heart, you will know it. It's undeniable. That's how I feel when I'm writing. It's undeniable. This is exactly what God like made me to do, you know, in the world. Like this is a gift he planted in me and I can feel it when I'm doing it. So just keep experimenting.
Yeah. And so like, again, I was just thinking about all my girlfriends and like none of them are writers, but like, you know, the more I'm like, some of them are like super good bakers, you know, and that's like such a creative out. Like my sisters are like great interior design people, you know, and they're like, let me just move it. Like they move something 2 inches and it looks 100 times better.
Totally.
Why can't I do that?
And isn't it so cool when you see, I mean, I love watching other women really step into the fullness of their gifts, you know, especially I have a lot of friends who have gifts that I don't have and it's, I love it. I light up watching them light up and it is, it's so nice how complimentary we can all be for one another. And I think it's really cool when you can get, especially even just a lot of women in a room together and all kind of like feed off of each other's gifts, you know, it's a really, really powerful experience.
Yes. And I do think there's like this really cool thing that happens like in your 30s where it's like, you've experimented enough, you kind of know what you're good at and hopefully you have like a good group of friends who will encourage you. And I've just seen women just like really take off and do these really awesome things that they never would have done when they were 23, 24.
Yeah. I know the confidence kind of comes later, I think. Yeah. I'm still working through that and I'm toward the later end of the 30s now, but I feel like I'm still kind of working on the confidence part.
Well, it's always a process. We feel confident in one area and like so insecure in the next. And you're like, how does this like coexist? And you're like, well. So your book talks about the margins of motherhood and you share some great stories about like just working in the margins. And so why are the margins such a sacred space, like in your own experience and like kind of for other people working in the same journey too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a really holy space. I love how you just phrased that. And you know, again, going back to that new mom self, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, this book really captures the first decade of my motherhood. My oldest child is 10 years old now. And it's funny because my youngest child was one when I was working on this book.
Wow.
When I first started writing it, right? Yeah. So there's such a range of experiences captured in this book across my first 10 years as a mom. But when I really think back to that brand new mom version of myself, like this is the message I wanted her to have.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I just was really struggling with this idea that I had just given up so much time, right? Like new motherhood is so all consuming. It just feels like in an instant, like your whole life is just swallowed up into this like vortex of being a mother. And
it is.
It was, it was such
lovely,
it's lovely. It's wonderful. I wouldn't trade it for anything, but it did feel like every minute of the day had been swallowed up into a vortex. And reclaiming that time for myself was so instrumental in my own just well-being.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so passionate about it because, you know, a lot of mothers, that's all they're working with are the margins. And it's guess like, I just want women to know that still matters. Like if you can sit down for 10 minutes a day and do something you love that makes you feel alive, that matters. And it's worth fighting for. It's worth protecting. It's worth valuing. And it's going to change from season to season. And that is the saving grace as well, because, you know, right now I wake up every morning at 5 a.m. and I write in the dark. And there were like years when I was up with a baby all night and I could have never done that. I would have never set my alarm for 5 a.m. But I'm in that season now where like that's working for me with the rhythm that I have with my kids. It's, I'm not like just scraping by trying to claw 10 minutes out of every day. I have a little bit more margin. I still don't have nearly as much as I'd like to have, but I have more. And so if you can get the momentum going with 10 minutes a day, you're going to be able to build on that as your kids get older and the seasons change. And sometimes it flows the opposite direction. You know, I have no idea what the teenagers are going to look like. There might come a time where I think I have a ton of time, but like the mental labor of parenting teenagers is so much that I don't have the bandwidth or the energy to use those hours that way. And so holding it all with an open hand, you know, I just like always really encourage women, hold it with an open hand, have grace for yourself, and just reassess what is possible in every season, because what is possible today is going to be very different than what is possible 6 months from now.
Yeah.
You have to constantly reevaluate that. And that was something that took me a long time to learn that. I think for a long time, I just kind of got in this zone where I was like, okay, this is how it works. And I just would box myself in.
Yes.
Before I realized like, okay, I'm actually in a different season now. And I have a different schedule now and the kids are in a different rhythm now and we have a different setup now and I can change it all again, you know? There's just a lot of freedom there.
There is. And in the book, you talk about this misconception that writers have this cozy cabin in the woods and they get to go write, you know, for a weekend. And I have to say that made me laugh out loud and also like chuckle, because for me, it's the beach. Like I just want to go.
Okay.
Beach,
yeah,
by myself, and
who does it?
My thing.
Who does
it? And you know what? That's happened exactly zero times. It's not going to happen. And I'm, you know, I just want to like wake up with the sun on the East Coast, and you know, just be writing at a little coffee shop. And I'm like, Susanna, like, this is not how it happens.
Totally.
And your metaphor, or, you know, I don't know if that's real life or metaphor, but like, I'm just like, there is so much amazing mm-hmm. that happens in the margins. And part yes. of it is just letting go of these expectations yeah. that it works otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Expectation management is a really important part of creating in the margins. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we, and it can be hard, you know, because oh, it is. There's also, it's not even just this idea that somewhere out there, there are, you know, lots of women writing in cabins in the woods. I don't actually think that's even happening, but we do, you know, between social media and just maybe like kind of what we're witnessing out in the world, it's so easy to compare.
It is,
you know, our life and our schedule and our resources and our childcare to the woman next to us, you know, yeah. and it's, if when we get trapped in that cycle of, I just don't have enough, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough this.
Yep.
It can just paralyze you, and it puts you in such a place of bitterness and resentment. And that is not a place to create from ever. No,
ever. And a super small example, you know, our third, he's 2.5 almost. He's a horrible Aww. Sleeper.
Horrible. Oh, I'm so sorry.
The first two are just like bears. I don't know. They hibernate. Like, they just sleep all the time.
Bless
and
those
so
kids.
I used to get up early and have a mm-hmm. big stretch of time, and that is gone. Mm-hmm. And so my expectation is that he would sleep for 2 hours because that feels like a normal amount. Yeah. And I lowered my expectations. I'm like, if he sleeps 70 minutes, this is great. And it's been amazing because now I think every minute after 70 is a bonus rather yes. than thinking every minute under yes. 2 hours. I'm like, man, I should have done this a long time ago because I'm yeah. just, you know, I'm just a little less stressed. Mm-hmm. It's just bringing it down to reality.
I love that so much.
yeah. Expectations matter a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, Ashley, this has been, I enjoy talking to you. I've always loved your work. I love what you're doing. I think it's really important. I love the way you bring other writers and creators into the story too, mm-hmm. which is really valuable. So if people want to connect with you or learn more about you, where do you hang out? Where can they get the book? Tell us all the things.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me today. It's been really fun chatting with you. So my website is ashleygad.com. That is a good kind of central hub with all my other links of where I am. And then I'm also writing for Coffee and Crumbs regularly. So you can always keep touch with me there. And I'm on Instagram every other week at ashleygad.
And remind me when the book comes out.
The book comes out March 28th.
Okay, March 28th.
I'm not freaking out. You're freaking out. I'm not freaking out. This is fine.
I am happily freaking out for you.
Okay, good. Yeah, happily freaking out is a good way to say that.
Well, thanks for being here, Ashley. I know you got a lot on your plate, and I'm so grateful you made time today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening in today. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate and review us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Be sure to share with us on Instagram what you liked most about the episode by tagging me at Susanna.McMonagle. And lastly, if you want more information about the 5 to 8 shift, you can check out our website, the5to8shift.com. We'll see you guys next time.